7, final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Unfortunately, I have some bad news, Rich.
I don't like bad news, Dale, so I prefer you save it.
Sorry to be the bearer of bad tidings, but the playmaker will not be with us.
What happened?
I don't know.
What's the problem?
Playmaker has left the building.
There's no Thursday night football, so it couldn't have been a late night or a
big
travel
weekend.
Thing, right?
A big weekend.
Or is he recruiting Rex Ryan to go down to the U right now? He heard a lot of scuttlebutt. About that.
That's an oddly good fit, I think.
I think it'd be great.
I do, too. I just think that...
He's got college coach written all over him, doesn't he?
Not even a question. And it would be just the... You know, it would be like the press conferences would be worth it. The swagger
yeah,
on the... As if they didn't have the swagger enough already.
He'd bring the camo outfits
right.
back. I mean,
be awesome.
He'd be a dope.
Yeah.
But you don't think that could work in college?
No, I don't think... I think he would fail miserably.
So... I know you don't like Pete Carroll a lot, but his
I actually think Pete Carroll's a good coach.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Rex Ryan's a good coach.
I think Rex Ryan's
Pete Carroll's a very good coach.
I think
Rex
Ryan's a good defensive coach.
He's
They play a dirty trick on him, though, when they kick the ball to him, don't they?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you could figure something out there. Couldn't you get an offensive coordinator or do something down there? I think he could recruit. I bet people would want to play for him, though.
You'd have to get a quarterback, first off. I was at that BC-Miami game. That quarterback was...
Well, no, they can't do that yet.
Yeah.
But don't you think he could recruit and just you just go in there? I think any of those pro coaches that go down there can just easily, when they're talking to kids, say, "I know what it takes to play in the NFL. I was in there for X many years." And
right.
What a thing to be able to say.
And meanwhile, Nick Saban and whoever's coaching at Clemson or Ohio State turns around and says, "Yeah, but look how many guys we put in the pros."
They can't. I'm not saying they can't do it, but there's 129 D1 teams.
True.
I think Rex Ryan going to Miami would give them a bit of a boost.
If you just get Florida alone, if you just dominate the Florida recruiting alone,
right,
you're fine.
Right, exactly.
You know?
It is a false count anywhere Friday, and that means we've been kind of all over the place.
No,
we've talked
true.
Bruins. We've talked Celtics. Obviously, we've talked Patriots, NFL playoffs. Believe it or not, I've got a quick baseball note to add in here.
Oh, I think I know where you're going.
Both Pete Abraham of the Boston Globe and Richard Justice from MLB.com have theorized the imminent return, well, maybe not imminent, but the return of Craig Kimbrell to the Red Sox. They look at the Dave Robertson signing yesterday, taking, the Phillies off the table for a guy like Kimbrell.
Get a lot of money, too.
Now, Justice seems to think that this is almost a done deal. Now, he's not going to get the 6 years. He's not going to get the 100-plus million. But Justice theorizes he could actually top the 5-year contract that Aroldis Chapman got.
Ugh. That's a lot of money, but at the same time, they need a closer. They can't go into the year without one.
And Dave Dombrowski agrees with you, by the way.
Yeah,
this whole
I think
closer
they do.
By committee thing, he doesn't believe in.
No.
He thinks you have to have a closer.
I agree with that. I really do. Like, again, you go back to their World Series teams, and it's Keith Foulke or Jonathan Papelbon or Koji Uehara. And I know Kimbrell wasn't great. Don't get me wrong. This playoffs, he was not great. And you were on the edge of your seat because he's given up a run or two. Although he didn't blow any saves, it was a roller coaster for him this playoffs.
But I asked this question in the office earlier, and I'll bring it up here on the air. And just as a quick, I'm not looking to make excuses. He was good. He wasn't otherworldly as he's been in the past. At no point did he bring this up, and we didn't really even mention it much. Could the medical condition that his daughter faced... That delayed the start of spring training for him, and I'm not saying he wasn't in shape to start, but there were issues the entire season. Could you see where that would weigh on a guy and perhaps affect your performance?
Not even a question. Not that it necessarily would, but it's absolutely a possibility. Some guys are able to compartmentalize things, and some guys aren't. And it's no sign of weakness one way or another. It's your child. It very easily could have been a scenario where that was. Part of it, but you just don't know. It's really an individual thing, but something like that is just that's got to be on your mind every single day, no matter what happens.
But it's funny the way the process went. You knew he was a free agent or going to be all season long, and when they got to the end of the year, didn't you assume he was going to be gone? I think everybody was like, "Well, he'll be gone."
Yeah,
but then nothing. Like there was a couple of teams interested. Was it the Astros or not the Astros? It was the Cardinals, I think, and the Braves. Were two teams that were interested. And you're like, okay. But there was never any real money or years attached. Then it came out that he was looking for 6 years, and everybody's like, all right, well, you're not getting 6 years. And it's just been classic baseball offseason, just a waiting period, just trying to figure it out and see
funny,
when the top guys are going to sign.
It's funny you should say that, because Ken Rosenthal wrote a piece for The Athletic, basically saying that baseball's economic system is broken. He looked particularly at Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, and he said there are 200 players out there who are free agents waiting to sign, and these two guys are almost the dam. Until the dam breaks, it's like nobody else is going to get signed. You've got agents for these players who don't really give a damn when it happens. You know, we'll just wait. We'll just wait this thing out. But he says that the economic system is broken in Major League Baseball because owners have finally figured out we're not doing the luxury tax thing. We're not gonna have to pay. We're gonna lose 10 spots in the draft, which the Red Sox will do this year because they went over it last year.
Right.
They reset in 2017, went over in 2018, paid a whole bunch of luxury tax money and dropped 10 spots in the draft. And the owners are saying, we're not doing this anymore. We're not going to give long-term contracts to 30-year-olds. Now, with Machado and Harper, you happen to have two 26-year-olds who you could make the case to give, you know, a 10-year deal to.
Yeah, those guys, sure.
But they were doing this with guys before who you knew the contracts were dumb.
Yeah, you're like, the last two, 3 years at times, there's no way those guys are going to be able to make it. And I also think starting pitchers are going to have a harder and harder time doing it as their average innings seem to be coming down. And you see what happens come playoff time where it's like all hands on deck and starters aren't growing deep into games. And it's, I think those guys are going to have a harder time getting a lot of money. Kimbrel might not have the market of all these teams desperately needing a closer and willing to spend a lot of money, but the Red Sox are a team that they're going to be the favorite or the co-favorite to win the World Series again going into this year, and they're probably not in a position to cheap out and say we're covered everywhere except for closer. So he may get close to the money that he wants from them just because they do need him for this year.
But Dave Dombrowski may have played this exactly right.
Yeah, and hopefully keep playing it. Let the numbers go down even lower.
Well, Rob Bradford wrote about it on WEEI.com. He said there may only be two teams left. He theorizes Atlanta and the Red Sox, and he even questions whether Atlanta's all that serious.
And how much are they really going to
pay? But you got to know who you're playing chicken with, which two teams you're talking to, and what their GMs are like, and what you and whether you're comfortable sitting at the table, you know, with the pile in front of you and who's going to
pull
what. But
that's what's great is you're not in this game of chicken with the Yankees.
True.
You're not in
Absolutely
it with the Dodgers.
Right.
You're not in it with the Cubs. If you're in it with
the
Braves, I feel like you should be able to come out on top.
Yeah, the Braves will spend here and there, but not like...
On a few
like,
guys. Yeah, right. But overall, I mean, you'll take your chances
Agreed.
If you're the Red Sox, for sure.
Agreed. Yep.
I don't mind bringing Craig Kimbrel back. I mean, I do think he's probably the best closer available. Now, I didn't want to go nuts. I didn't want to give him 6 years. I didn't want to give him $100-some-odd million, and apparently they're not going to have to. But I know that there are a lot of Red Sox fans who are basically, get him the hell out of here. Yeah, he gave me gas
that.
Every time he pitched anyway. Get him out of here.
I understood that, too, and I was fine. Like, if you said Craig Kimbrel is going to be gone, he's going to get a ton of money elsewhere, I say, fine.
Yeah.
But then the next question, very quickly thereafter, who's replacing him?
You ready for Matt Barnes in the ninth inning at Yankee Stadium?
Right. You like Ryan Brazier. Maybe Ryan Brazier's the guy.
Brazier, but not as the closer.
Like
so that's the point.
It
gets down to a point where you don't have anybody. And even David Robertson, who that might be, you know, past his prime. Well, he's gone. He signs a 2-year deal with Philly. I like Adam Ottavino a lot, who's still out there. But he's also a guy who's been more of a setup man throughout his entire career. So still an unknown. So it got real tough when you had to decide who was going to be the replacement. You remember the Edwin Diaz rumor that was out there when he got traded? He's a closer in his prime. He goes from the Mariners traded to the Mets. It was like that day that they were talking about maybe the Red Sox. Then, boom, he gets traded away to the Mets. So who else could you really get? You're almost in a position now where you do have to bring back Craig Kimbrel. Who I think even if you're four, I don't want to sign him to a 5-year deal, but if that's what it takes, I feel like at least for the next two or three, he's still going to be pretty good.
Three or four, hopefully.
But there's no telling if it's going to take five. If you can manage a 4-year deal, there's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't have a problem with that whatsoever.
Wouldn't you rather overpay for three or four than no? But what I'm saying, like, overpay for 3 or 4 than stretch it out for five. Like, I'd rather let him be a free agent in, you know, 3 years.
And I understand that in the playoffs, it's a totally different animal. You know, you've got starters coming out of the pen. It is totally different.
Short relief, long relief, anything.
You got to get through the 162 first. You're not using Chris Sale out of the bullpen in July. You're doing it, you know, in mid to late October.
Right.
You need a closer. And the idea, well, he sucked anyway. Well, okay, fine. To
you don't have
point,
nobody else.
Tell me who's there.
And in fact, they probably need to sign two relievers.
And Nathan Eovaldi's, by the way, already been told he signed here as a starter.
Oh, they paid him starter money, so he's starting. Right. And Joe Kelly was up and down. He was certainly up in the playoffs. He had a couple of months where he was really up. He's also had a couple of months where he was trash. But still, it was a lot of innings, and he's gone.
And I suggested at before it be signed elsewhere, maybe Joe Kelly. Well, he's gone now, too.
Right. So you're going to have to replace those innings. So I think even if you bring back Kimbrel, they may not be done. That might be another spot where if you look at the roster right now, just the guys in the bullpen, it's pretty thin.
No, it's okay. They signed Carson Smith to Carson a minor
Smith's
league
back.
Deal.
Yeah. There you go. You think Cora's going to let him anywhere near the roster when he blamed him for his injury?
They did sign him to a minor league deal.
He's like, I was overused. It's like, no, you weren't.
I don't have a problem with bringing Kimbrel back. I didn't want to overpay. I didn't want to go nuts. I didn't want to go 6 years. Didn't want to go $100 million. And by the way, I don't blame him for trying.
Did you think those numbers were legit when you first heard them anyway?
I did not.
No,
you gotta
think anybody
start,
did.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere,
I
guess.
Did.
You're asking for the moon.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. A little curse. Wow. Oh. You had enough of this? You had enough of this conversation? You're kind of just,
Jason's
just blew, he just blew us up. Yep. All right.
That was a hard break.
All right.
All right.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
Okay. Sorry, Jason. 617.
Sorry.
Get out of here. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keefe with Jason Rossi, Sports Radio WEEI.
We're back on a Patriots Friday with Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
It's time. It's time.
There's been an excessive number of deceased wrestlers on our Falls Count Anywhere.
Rest in peace, Vader.
Not with us anymore.
Fourier knew him because he played football. I mean, he played before Fourier's time, but he played football out in Colorado.
Yeah?
And he said that he would show up in the weight room and just throw weights
around.
Throw stuff around.
He
was
a monster.
I'm guessing he wasn't subject to any... checks and he balances.
What are you trying
any?
To say here, Steve?
I'm just saying a lot
You're
of those guys are right out.
Was he on Saved by the Bell? What was
Vader?
It?
Vader?
No, he was on Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets
yeah,
World.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That was
yeah,
the one.
Yeah, yeah.
Where awesome. He played a wrestler.
Yeah. Well,
he was
interestingly
father
enough, with a mask.
Yeah, he was the bully, Frank. He was a big kid.
Yeah, made sense. Like father, like son.
Yeah.
Big fella.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
There, one quick note about, we were talking about the All-Pro selections, and Stephon Gilmore, the only All-Pro for the Patriots, and that's probably accurate.
Yes.
The NFL's got to fix one little thing.
This bothers you.
Stop, they've got four players now who made more than one All-Pro team. Tyreek Hill made first-team flex and second-team wide receiver. J.J. Watt, as Steve was saying, first-team edge defender, second-team defensive lineman.
Interior defensive lineman or just defensive lineman?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The fact that we even have to ask.
Von Miller, second-team edge defender and second-team linebacker.
What?
I'm going to guess he can't play both those at the same time.
Pick a spot. Now, it's one thing if you are first-team wide receiver and first-team returner. I'm okay with that because those are two different things.
Yeah.
But when you're just being lined up differently, please.
Agreed.
And Derwin James is the other guy who made two.
Good for him.
All-pro teams, and that just doesn't seem right.
You get paid twice?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, good.
Let's talk with New England Patriot safety Daron Harmon. Our conversation with Daron is brought to you by New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. Hey, Daron, how are you?
I'm doing good. Yourself, guys?
Doing great, thank you. We got word today that your teammate, Stephon Gilmore, was named to the first-team All-Pro team, and I'm assuming you wholeheartedly endorse that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, just from the start to the finish of the year, I just feel like he's been the best corner in the league. We put him on the other team's best receivers, and time again, he comes away winning the matchup, man. Excited for him. Already texted him. Talked to him a little bit and just told him that I was proud of him because just seeing where he's came from to the first couple of games last year to where he's at now, being regarded as the best corner in the league, it just shows his work ethic and his determination to continue to get better.
What's this week like? It's certainly one that you guys are used to in the past, having the first round bye, but not knowing who your opponent is going to be, and you may not know until late, you know, in the afternoon on Sunday. So what goes into this week?
Just right now, just relaxing. Just taking some downtime just to enjoy that we already, in some case, won a playoff game, not having to play this week. But I'm still being in tune with who's playing. Definitely watching those games because, like you said, we might not know who we're playing until late Sunday afternoon, but we could know. You know, in some realities, Saturday. So just seeing what each team kind of brings to the table because at the end of the day, you want to be able to play, you know, after this week, two more games, but we know we got to focus on the first one. So relaxing, enjoying your family, and just trying to stay a little bit in tune to know what's going on in the playoff week.
Understanding that you don't know who you're going to play next week, what was the focus in practice this week?
There's still so much more that we could be better at. And I think Coach Belichick had a great game plan for practice this week. We was working on just being better. I mean, us personally, we made progress in the run game the last couple of weeks, and we still hit that. Just being able to see where some opponents might attack you, where you didn't have some success. So working on things like that, just continuing to work on being better at areas that we are good at, so that can continue to be a strength when we make this playoff run.
Enjoy a couple of days off. I know you guys get back to work beginning of the week and get ready for a playoff game a week from Sunday. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one, guys.
Take care.
Thanks, Daron.
Daron Harmon with apparently in SpongeBob's house.
I was going to say, called from a conch shell, so that's nice. But good luck.
Do you think all the Patriots have the same, like, yes, cell service?
I think they pass it, yes, from person, right, to person.
I think they do it on purpose.
Hey, here, this will get you off the air quicker.
Go yes, try talk. You go try
no,
talk.
No, use this phone. Use this. Do you have the filter on? Use this one. Like, it sounds too clear. Put this little muzzle on it.
He was supposed to allegedly be on, like, a few hours ago. He was like, yeah. Jonathan Jones, I need your phone.
You got to give me the phone. Jonathan, come on.
It was an all-timer. I wanted to ask him about the Masked Singer. But we didn't get that.
I couldn't take the phone.
I know. We wouldn't have been able to. It wouldn't have happened.
Next week.
Yeah, next week, I'll get them.
Let me give you a quick little thing here. We were talking about
drafting. Take all the time you need.
Drafting for the Patriots and issues with the draft. And,
yes.
You know, sometimes Bill Belichick. I've had a couple of drafts here lately that haven't been so good.
Right.
Here's the 2018 Indianapolis Colts draft. Round one, they drafted Quentin Nelson.
Hey, Quentin. What's up, man?
Just made all pro.
He's great.
Round two, they drafted Darius Leonard, just made All-Pro.
Pretty good draft.
Round two, they drafted right tackle Braden Smith. He's a starter.
Fired up.
Yeah, I would say so.
Round two, they drafted defensive end Kamoko Ture. He had 4 sacks this year. Round two, they drafted defensive end Tyquan Lewis. He's a starter. Round four, they drafted running back Nyheim Hines, 738 scrimmage yards.
Hey, he's been good.
They picked 11 guys this year. All 11 guys made the roster.
Your leadership, your toughness, and your long time 12 plus career that I know you can bring, man. And
he kills people too. You see some of the highlights of Quentin Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Like running around just knocking guys
off. But the 11 guys on the team makes you understand that, first off, you're talking about a newer coach. Second
brand
off,
new coach.
You're talking about some good drafting. Third off, you're talking about a crappy team last year.
Right.
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
But their first two selections, yes, rookies, right, made all pro.
Unbelievable.
That's awesome.
I mean, if the Patriots ever put together a draft like that.
Yeah, look out.
The NFL would probably take draft choices away from them.
Again.
Yes. Yep. It's not right.
Yeah, they probably would. Yeah, that is serious. And Frank Wright, I mean, and that job, I mean, I still have problems with McDaniels backing out the way that he did. But if he just straight up turned it down, let's forget him agreeing to it. If he just turned it down, you could actually understand it, because Andrew Luck, you had no idea how healthy he was going to be.
True.
And so,
at the beginning of the season, he didn't look healthy.
Right. Yeah. And so Andrew Luck is good. They drafted well. Their coach seems to be pretty good. And now they're in the playoffs.
Yep.
So, yeah, perfect.
And you give him a chance to advance in the playoffs?
Yes. I have him over the Texans.
I don't have him over the Texans, but I'm not going to be shocked if they do it.
Meanwhile, the Patriots, conversely, you just went over all the All-Pros and all the guys that are on the team.
Every
player from the Patriots was on IR. Well, that's not entirely true, but most of the guys
like
were.
It.
Isaiah Wynn, IR. Sony Michel was actually pretty good this year, but missed a couple games due to injury and was out early in the year. Duke Dawson, IR. Juwan Bentley, IR. Christian Sam, IR. Braxton Berrios, IR. Danny Etling, IR. Keon Crossen, he's played in 11 games. And then Ryan Izzo, I believe, also IR.
Which means they didn't need a lot of help. Which means guys got hurt a little bit.
They could use some help,
I think
Steve.
They could have used some help this year.
Come on.
And which one of those positions would have helped?
Isaiah Wynn.
I think that would have been
I think their offensive line was not terrible this year.
Juwan Bentley.
Okay.
Speed linebacker?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Is he faster than...
Yes. Whoever you say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Dante Hightower, yes.
How about this? Can he get to the ball quicker?
I think he'd be better at covering running backs and tight ends. I think that's what he'd be better at.
So a nickel linebacker.
Yeah, pretty much. I think he'd be better at that than Roberts or Van Noy.
Grant you that.
Yeah.
Who else?
I mean, the corners have been pretty good. I mean, Duke Dawson was a second-round pick, though, so I would have liked to have seen him.
Yep. Jackson as an unrestricted free agent, right?
J.C. Jackson was a undrafted. So that ended up working out. So you got something there. That's true. You got something there. But
he was just even shaky early on. So
the point is, for the last couple of years, and I'm going to leave the injury part out because you can't plan that Isaiah Wynn's going to get hurt.
But
I know you draft guys with injury issues.
Then you can't be shocked. Yeah.
But
did Wynn have injuries issues?
Yes.
Going into this.
Yes.
So, but my point is,
no, not like that. No, nobody did like that.
The Patriots have had.
You have Ross Idowling. Ross Idowling.
You have him in the Hall of Fame.
I do. You don't.
Just saying.
You don't.
Not yet. I don't.
What does he need to do? Play well next week?
See, there you go. You're trying to be sarcastic.
Don't start with that. Right?
Yes, he does, actually. Okay. It would help.
That would help.
Yeah,
would
my
help.
Point is, if we look at the last several drafts for the Patriots, there's been a big hole here.
Yes.
Right. There has been.
And,
for sure.
And, you know, you're seeing this erosion of talent. Mm-hmm. You can't keep everybody. You can't sign everybody. But you could hit on some draft picks that help replenish the stock. The Indianapolis Colts just had a draft last year that replenishes their stock for the immediate future.
Yeah, it's pretty well done.
True. And I know they're not as good as the Patriots. I understand they had more holes to fill. But they drafted two All-Pros. Their first two picks are rookies who made the All-Pro team.
That's unbelievable. I don't know if that's...
That is, yeah.
Has there ever been there's got to be some instances of both of them first team or second team?
I think the Ravens drafted Jonathan Ogden and Ray Lewis in the same
That'd
year.
That'd do it.
That would help.
Yep, that would do it. Two Hall of Famers.
Strong draft there, guys.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's happened. I mean, even the Patriots, not necessarily two Hall of Famers, but the year they drafted Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, you're like, okay, hit.
Yep.
But that was also 2012.
True.
So you got to go back a ways.
And by the way, they also, the Patriots, always are drafting at the end of the first round.
Right. They can't pick sixth. They can't get Quentin Nelson at six because that guy's way off the board.
True.
But some of those other picks, different story.
And then you also bring into the idea of who you're signing, what free agents you're signing, what guys you're picking up here and there. But you're right. In terms of replenishing, but again, replenishing the talent. Okay, was there ever overwhelming talent on this team based on the national rankings of where your players rank?
It's impressive. Was it?
Gilmore
last year was their. I think their offense had one first round pick.
Right,
with Nate Solder. Right, I think everybody else was drafted, and now obviously Sony Michel's here, and maybe that's changed. But last year in the Super Bowl, they had an offense that had one first round pick on it, and it was a tackle who wasn't even playing all that well.
Yeah, true.
So I mean that's pretty remarkable.
It just goes to show you that in that situation. If we're talking about Bill Belichick not drafting well over the last however many years, and you can even make a case about how he can't draft a wide receiver over any point in his career as a head coach. So you look at that, just makes it even more remarkable what they've pulled off and how they've patchworked some things.
Isn't that all the quarterback?
A lot of it. A ton of it.
Not all. All is an overstatement. Yeah. But isn't the majority of that the play of what we think is the best quarterback who ever lived?
A big part of it.
I'd say that helps.
Big part of it is the defense making plays when they need to make them, like they've done in any number of times in their Super Bowl runs. Gronkowski being tremendous in a few years. I mean, it's just one of those things where you look at and say, how does it get done? How are you doing this with lesser talent than you would assume is that the average team has? Would you say this talent-wise is an average team?
Yeah, remember that conversation at the beginning of the year? I feel like it came up all the time.
I think they are.
I think they kind of are. Like, if you take, remember, it was especially if you take Tom Brady, which is unfair because the quarterback is by far the most important, but if you just stack them up against other teams, you know, Houston or Pittsburgh or Cleveland even.
You go down the roster.
Yeah.
Get on the roster.
It's probably average. They just happen to have the best coach and quarterback.
Right.
Even if it's not the best Brady year, still, they have those two guys which have gotten them here.
You would if you had to reshuffle the entire deck of the NFL, the Patriots would not be as pick clean as some other teams. If you just threw everybody else in the draft, and you're right.
That's a good point. Like, who would other teams really want?
Right,
Stephon Gilmore.
Gilmore, and
Trey Flowers, James White.
I would say Trent Brown's done himself a good service this year. Trent Brown's had a very good year.
That's kind of it.
James White.
Yeah.
Sony Michel-ish, maybe.
Maybe,
yeah.
There's a lot of running backs over him.
Gronk, probably. I would say.
Oh, the former Gronk.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't know. Gronk. Yeah. I don't know about this guy.
How about, you know, Edelman or someone like that, or.
Maybe,
you know,
but then
McCourty,
even then,
of course.
Yeah, but you know those guys are towards the end, too.
True.
You know, like how many guys in their prime? It's a small group.
Yeah.
Glenn's in Natick. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Glenn?
So many topics that you've been talking about. I initially was going to call. My initial call is about no one's talking about all these GMs who still have their jobs. You know, it's a little bit perplexing, and I feel bad for some of these coaches that aren't able to create a situation like, well, obviously Belichick's sort of the quintessential example, but like a Pete Carroll, even Bill O'Brien were able to sort of pick their GMs to work together with them. All these guys are sort of a leg down when they get in there, and it's unfortunate the GMs aren't taking hits on this recent. And I know some of the coaches deserve to be fired, but you know, a guy like Wilkes or you know even Bowles and the Jets, he probably deserve to be fired, but the GM's not actually a great GM.
Well, I'll say this in Miami, where they did get rid of Adam Gase, they've apparently also gotten rid of Mike Tannenbaum.
Mm-hmm.
They have technically reassigned him right now, but he's on his way out. Everybody there knows he's gone.
And that does speak to the owner, though, too. Like, that's the thing. Like, sometimes there's GMs around the league that just do whatever the owner says.
Well, the GM in Green Bay was signed this year. Last year, they talked him out of taking a job in Houston, and now they've basically overstepped him. The CEO, Mark Murphy, I guess, overstepped it and got rid of McCarthy and said that the transactions go through him now.
How about Mike Mayock now being the GM of the Raiders?
See, I don't mind that.
That's interesting.
I think Lewis Riddick would be a great GM.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he would be too.
Yeah, Mike was actually the captain my freshman year at BC. He was a captain there, and I've known him for a long time.
No kidding.
And he's a guy that he was looking at. He had a very short stint in the NFL, but he looked at the opportunities and he saw that none of the former players were going in that draft route. And he worked it and spent years in obscurity, and then finally worked his way into a position where he was that well respected and that much
Although,
on the air.
I would question him if he thinks that Ryan Mallett has popped and looks like a first round pick. That was, of course, famous. One of his lines.
Yep,
I remember.
Show me any GM. That's
100%. Up. I know.
You know.
Nobody.
Yeah.
For the most part, when I would watch his draft work, I thought he was remarkably well prepared.
He's pretty good.
Yep. Yeah. And it'll be even easier for him to do that kind of research now with a full staff. You know, I'm sure he had access to whatever staff the NFL network had, but the staff that he'll put together there, he'll probably bring in some of his guys too that he knows, and they've got a ton of draft choices next year too. So you'll get an indication
right away
of what he
them.
Brings to the table.
Right.
Well, except for the ones that they're going to trade to get Antonio Brown.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Ooh,
that'd be smart.
Saying. What else you got is coming up next. Sports Radio WEEI. Greatest pop in wrestling history was the Raw, where Foley beat The Rock for the championship. Where
yes.
Tony Schiavone said, and on the other network, Foley's going to win the title. That'll put butts in seats. And when Stone Cold Steve Austin came out to this, the greatest pop in wrestling history.
Good pops in the 90s.
We probably know more about this than we should.
I don't think so.
Just about right.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some things that we didn't get to throughout the course of the program.
What else you got?
Jason, why don't you start us off?
Okay, so
you seem surprised by this.
Sorry.
We went over this.
Wait, what? I'm talking. No, yeah. So this weekend, a friend of mine owns a hair salon. They're doing a cut-a-thon. One of their co-hairstylists, I don't really know. One of her friends is going through some tough times and is having trouble paying her bills. She has kids, has a family, so they're putting together a cut-a-thon in Peabody. It's called Wavelengths. You can Google that if you're interested. But they're doing haircuts for much less of the cost and are allowing people then to donate as well.
Nice.
For more information, we'll throw it out on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI.
Sounds good.
Very nice.
All right.
What else you got?
I'll give you professional athletes who think that just because they're professional athletes, they can do anything. So Jared Allen, 5-time Pro Bowler, 4-time All-Pro, great player for the Minnesota Vikings.
Character.
Yeah, he is character.
Real good player.
Announced his retirement when he rode in on a horse and then rode off into the sunset. So he's gotten together with former NFL quarterback Mark Bulger, former linebacker Keith Bullock, and former offensive tackle Michael Roos. And they've decided they're ready for their second athletic career.
Interesting.
They've put together a curling team.
Oh, that's awesome.
They are making plans to participate in the 2022 Olympics.
Good luck to those guys.
This is like guys who say, awesome, you know, at the end of their career, yeah, I think I'm going to go on the PGA Tour when I'm done playing. Now, I'm not saying that they can't become Olympic curlers.
I'm thinking they can.
Well, here's the deal. They got one of the members of their team, one of the guys, Bullock, he's curled before.
Yep.
He said, quote, I did a few hours of curling in. I had a few hours in.
Yeah.
Most memorable part was the beers.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So I guess I'm here for the beers. I'd say there's a real good chance they're going to make this work.
We should get a curling team going here.
We should.
What do you think? We need like a skip and we need like three other, like a couple sweepers.
Sweepers, yep.
Hard! I can do this.
Yeah, I think we could.
Yeah.
Rossi, you win on that? I think you need four people, right?
Let's do it.
Next week, let's flood the parking lot, and we'll start working on our game.
I love it.
Very nice.
I love it. I'll bring the stuff.
What else you got?
Well, I'll tell you what, Dale. One of the best young players in the NBA will be at the Garden tonight. Luka Doncic.
Yes.
19 years old, and right now he actually has more All-Star votes than Kevin Durant. There's still a ways to go in the All-Star voting, but right now he'd be starting for the Western Conference. 19.5 points per game, over 6.5 rebounds, 5 assists. This guy's the real deal, and I think in a few years you're going to look back. The Atlanta Hawks actually drafted him with the number 3 pick, and then they traded him on draft night for Trae Young and a top 5 protected first round pick next year.
Better be good.
That is going to be one of the worst trades ever, because Doncic looks like the man, the and he's only 19. Yep. So it looks like, how about that? They had the Dirk Nowitzki era in Dallas.
Yep.
They grab a guy from Germany, plays forever, going to be a surefire Hall of Famer. And then, like 20 years after the fact, they get Luka Doncic, kid from Slovenia, who looks awesome early
19
on.
Years old.
19.
That's
He's incredible. And this is his only trip to the Garden all year long.
Anything for you, pal?
Just a quick thing. Just breezing through the NFL website. Top 10 jerseys are out again. The top 10 selling jerseys are out again. They do this every year. Number one is?
Mahomes?
Tom Brady.
What? Again?
Tom Brady.
If you wanted a Tom Brady jersey, wouldn't you own it by now?
Right.
You got to get home, away, alternate. You got to get them all.
So you can understand Khalil Mack because he's new to the Bears.
Yes, new
so
in jersey.
That's an obvious one.
And of course, Mahomes is in third. But the other one, the number 10, was pretty interesting, too. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Ooh.
Oh, don't tell Antonio Brown about
that. He's not going to like that.
That's what I'm talking
about.
He's angry.
Sorry, Antonio.
So angry.
We got to get out of here. Enjoy the bye week for the Patriots. Of course, playoff football in the NFL. We will be back on Monday at Gillette Stadium with Rob Ninkovich, who won't know who either of us are.
That's right. Can't wait.
Coming up on Monday. But first, we have to say goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.